I want you to open your Bibles, please, in Galatians chapter 6. The Lord has directed my attention afresh to this passage of God's Word, and just a couple of verses in this passage, Galatians chapter 6. Commencing to read at verse number 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. Every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. He that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And God will indeed bless His Word to our hearts for Jesus' sake. It says in verse 6 or verse 7, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Verse 8, he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Some years ago, a housewife was badly beaten by her husband. He threatened to kill her and to kill her two children. She went to the authorities, and when she went to the authorities, her husband was arrested. And because of his threat to kill her and the way that he was behaving, the court ordered that he be not only arrested, not only charged, but that he be put into a psychiatric ward. And for some time, he was there. And then his wife decided that she wanted him back again. She went to her lawyer and to the court and told the court that she had lied in her evidence. And in actual fact, she went to the hospital, to the psychiatric ward where her husband was ordered to be kept. And she had a 4-day sit-in begging for her husband to be released. And as she appealed and appealed and appealed for the court to release her husband from that psychiatric ward, she said these words, I want him out, even if he kills me. Her heart went out to her husband, and she said, I want him out, even if he kills me. Friends, 3 months later, her husband was released, and 3 months after his release, he took a piece of piping and he killed his wife and he killed his two sons, battering them to death. She wanted him out at any price. I want him out even if he kills me. No matter what the price, no matter what the cost, even life itself. And that's exactly what it cost her. You may say in listening to that story, what a fool. And let us be quite honest, that chapter has been written over and over and over again. And only someone who has ever faced those circumstances know exactly what that is. But they will know just exactly what they are being willing to be or put up with and what they've been willing to go through. But whilst you may say, what a fool. What a fool. She should have known. She should have known what he threatened to do. She should have known that it was insane to let him out and to make the statement, I want him out even if he kills me. But friend, let me tell you, there are those in this service tonight who know exactly what their sin is going to do. And the Word of God says the wages of your sin is death. But you won't let it go. You still hold on to it. The Bible says sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. The Word of God says in Isaiah, your sins have separated between you and God. And yet with all the knowledge of what sin is going to do and what sin is going to cost you, you still love it. You still desire it. You still want it. You still embrace it. Then let me tell you, God forbid, but some of you, that's the price you may have to pay for it. The wages of your sin is death. You know, there are laws that God has set that cannot be broken. Oh, I know there are laws which God has given and man has broken. Willfully, defiantly broken. But there are laws that God has set which cannot be broken. For example, the law of gravity. You may decide to step out of a 40-foot building or a 40-story building. And you may decide to jump out through the window or step off the roof and say, oh, well, you see, I'm not really fall. But in the natural realm, the law of gravity says, you will. And you'll not only fall, friend, but you'll be broken below, on the pavement below, because you may defy the law of gravity, but you'll not break it. You may defy it, but you'll not break it. And then there's the law of the harvest. If a farmer were foolish enough to sow weeds, he can't expect to grow barley. If a man goes out to sow corn, and the seed that he sows is a corn, he doesn't expect a harvest of barley or wheat. Why? Because there is a law. And it's this. Whatsoever you sow, you reap. Whatsoever a man soweth, the Bible says. Now this is taking it out of the natural law and bringing it into the spiritual law of God and applying it very clearly, friend. Whatsoever a man soweth, that, whatever he sows, barley, he reaps barley. Corn, he reaps corn. Wheat, he reaps wheat. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And that applies in the spiritual realm. Verse 8 says, he that soweth to his flesh shall of his flesh reap. And he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. There are three thoughts that I want to leave with you this evening. First of all, the sin that brings its own harvest. And then secondly, I want us to notice the standards that regulate the harvest. And then thirdly, the surplus that comes with the harvest. First of all, the sin that brings its own harvest. You see, the devil's a liar. The Lord Jesus said that. Two things about the devil, two characteristics. He said, the devil's a liar and the devil's a murderer. John chapter 8, verse 44, the Lord Jesus spoke about the devil being a liar and the devil being a murderer. And the devil's a deceiver. And he wants to mock God and he wants to deceive man. You remember Eve, whenever the devil came to Eve and conversed with Eve in the form of the serpent, he said to Eve, you'll become as gods. In actual fact, you're on your way up. But in reality, they were on their way down. You see, the devil says, if you partake of your sin, if you partake of that forbidden fruit, you're on your way up. You're going to be elevated. You'll be taken into the heavens. Why? You'll become as gods. But in reality, God said, the wages of your sin is death. The day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And instead of heaven, friend, it would take them to hell. But the devil didn't tell them that. The devil didn't paint it that way. He told it a different way. You'll become as gods. And friend, the devil's still the deceiver and the liar. You know what he tells you that you can sin and you can get away with it. That you actually can break the law of God, not only defy the law of God, but you can break the law of God without having to pay a price. There's no price tag on your sin. And friend, the tragedy is this. People believe him. People believe him. There are people in this church tonight, and you must be honest, you have believed the lie of the devil. Because if you didn't believe the devil's lie, you would turn from your sin, knowing that there's a price tag and it's hell. But instead of turning, you embrace your sin. Instead of turning to Christ, who's the answer to your sin, friend, you actually think that you can sin and get away with it. You can sin and get away with it. There is no price to be paid. Friend, that's a lie. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. And then the devil tells you another lie. He says that you can actually sin and that no one will ever find out your sin. If you sin in the darkness, if you sin away in the secret place, it's not out in the open. Other people cannot see it, and therefore somehow you can sin and you'll get away with it because nobody will find you out. God's already said this to you. He says, be sure your sin will find you out. And God's already told you that, friend. Turn your Bibles to Psalms, the book of Psalms, to Psalm number 10. And when you come to the 10th Psalm, friend, go to verse 11. And friend, this is how some of you are living, because you believe the devil's a lie. You believe the devil's deception. That somehow you can sin and God won't find it out. That somehow there's a place that you can hide where God can't see you. And therefore you'll not have to answer for your sin. Psalm number 10, go to verse 11. He hath said in his heart, God hath forgotten. He hideth his face. He will never see it. Be honest. Has the devil not told you that? He not told you that? Nobody sees it. So therefore you can sin. Well, go to verse 13. Wherefore doth the wicked contemn God? He has said in his heart, thou wilt not require it. Verse 14. Thou hast. Seen it. for thou beholdest mischief and spite. To require it with thy hand, or requite it with thy hand. The poor committeth himself unto thee. Thou art the helper of the fatherless. Friend, don't be a fool. You can't hide your sin from God no more than Adam and Eve could hide themselves from God in the garden. God sees your sin. And the devil deceives you and he blindfolds you and he tells you that somehow that you can sin and there will be no reward for your sin. There's no price to be paid for your sin. And you turn over to the book of Isaiah, just is there a price to be paid? Let's just look at Isaiah chapter 3 for a moment. Go to verse 11. Isaiah chapter 3, verse 11. Woe unto the wicked, it shall be ill with him. For the reward of his hands shall be given him. You'll get what you deserve. That's what God says to him. You'll get what you deserve. Now you can close your heart to that and you can close your mind to it, friend, and the devil can blindfold you or the devil can muffle your ear tonight, but I want to tell you this, God sees your sin and there's a price to be paid for your sin because there's the law of the harvest spiritually. Whatsoever a man sow, that shall he also reap. And then the devil deceives you with something else. He tells you that somehow you can live as you like and then walk into heaven without preparation. Let me tell you, friend, that's another devil's lie. The Bible says sin when it is finished is not heaven. Sin when it is finished is separation from God, it's hell. And the prophet of God in the book of Amos chapter 4:12 says, prepare to meet thy God. And the Lord Jesus, when he was upon this earth, says, except ye repent and turn from your sin, and instead of loving your sin, see sin as God sees it and take the sight of God concerning your sin and repent and turn from it. Except ye repent, says Jesus, ye shall all likewise what? Perish. Perish. You can't sin just as you like and live what you like and then God's going to say it just at the end. The preacher, he'll shove you through the pearly gates. Preacher will stand over your coffin and you say a few words, and as they're dropping the soil on top of the coffin, he'll say, dust thou art and unto dust thou shalt return in the sure and certain hope of the glorious resurrection. He's lying, friend. Some years ago, I remember going to the hospital, the Mid-Ulster Hospital, as a wee man, great loyalist, loved the country. Followed Dr. Paisley many years, but he didn't know Jesus Christ. Many times I sought to witness to him and tell him his need of the Lord Jesus, but the wee man, he just would talk to you about Ulster, would talk to you about the IRA, would talk to you about anything but not the Lord. One day I remember going into the hospital. Remember he said to me, he said, Mr. McRae, I want to make my will. I need to make my will. I said to him, well, listen, you've got the wrong person. I don't make wills. I said, that's barristers or solicitors. You go to them, not preachers. There have been many famous preachers around the country that loved making wills and usually found their name stuck in it. But nevertheless, as far as I'm concerned, if my name's there, I haven't put it there. And I said, I'm sorry, it's a solicitor you need. Well, he said, I want to make my will. And I rang up the solicitor from the hospital that day where we were. And I rang up the solicitor's office and the solicitor came up to the hospital. He came up when he came up to the hospital. And he walked through the door. I walked out. And then after it was made, I remember standing at the bottom of his bed and I looked on that bed and I said to him, friend, what about your soul? I said, listen, why did you make your will? Because you believe it's possible you may die. I said, tell me, where are you going then? Where are you going? I said, you know, the Lord Jesus said, what shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What can a man give in exchange for his soul? And I begged that man to come to Christ. He says, William, he says, I've got an awful pain. I've an awful pain. I can't think straight. Friend, listen, he could think straight enough to know exactly what he was doing with his will. But when it came to God's eternity, the pain was too great. He says, come back to me again. Come back to me. Come back to me tomorrow. Friend, let me tell you this. I did come back.
But he was lying stretched out. For that night he went to God's eternity.
There's a minister, a local minister, was standing in for his own minister, who was away on holidays, and he asked me, this person would have been professed to be a believer, and he asked me, how did the man stand? And I told him exactly what I'm telling you. And I stood in the home that day at the funeral, and he said something like this. He says, our friend has left us. He has gone through the pearly gates. He has seen the Lord and is now with him. And let me tell you this, that man was a liar. He made himself a liar standing in the dead man's home. But what he didn't do was change the destiny. And I don't care what the preacher says over your grave, friend. If it's this one, don't be allowing me to lie at the side of your grave. If you're ready, thank God, we'll rejoice you in heaven. And if you're not ready, I can't rejoice. For there's no joy in hell. And if you think you can live as you like, friend, and listen to the devil's lie, and you can do your own do and think as you like and do as you like, and somehow God's just going to open the door of heaven without repentance, without salvation, without the new birth, and say, come on, friend, let me tell you. Then you're a fool. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. I'd say one other thing. You know, the devil makes you believe that to become a Christian will make you sad. And sin's pleasures will always make you glad. Now, there's no doubt whatsoever there are pleasures in sin. There's no doubt about that at all. But what I want to tell you is this, friend. Any of the pleasures of sin that you get, you remember this, they're only for a season. They won't last. They'll not keep you laughing. They'll not keep you smiling. They'll not keep you happy. Moses, the Bible said, he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. You ever think of what Moses gave up? He gave up being a prince. Because remember, he was looked upon as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He gave up being a prince. He gave up education and knowledge. He gave up fame and wealth. He gave up possessions and estates. He gave up power and authority. He gave up position and purpose. And he sacrificed them all. Why? Because he knew they'd all pass away. Weren't lasting. And he wanted something more. He was willing to suffer the people, the children of God. Listen. He'd rather be a child of God no matter what it cost. And have God's blessing and then God's heaven than to have the world and then eternal hell. Don't let the devil deceive you tonight. Don't let the devil deceive you, friend. Listen, listen. The sin that will bring its harvest, be sure of this. He that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. Then secondly, the standards that regulate the harvest. Listen, listen to this. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You know as well as your head's in a body, the Lord Jesus said, you don't get figs or thistles. You don't get them. You don't get grapes of thorns. That's only a fool that talks like that. The answer is no. Figs come from the fig tree. The grapes come from the vine, not the thorn bush. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Turn to Job chapter 4. And in Job chapter 4, if you go to verse 7, it says, Job chapter 4, verse 7. Remember, I pray thee, whoever perished being innocent? Or where were the righteous cut off? Even as I have seen, they that plough iniquity and sow wickedness. Now here's three words. Reap the same. Got that? It's as plain as that. As plain as, my friend, here's the word of God. He that ploughs iniquity and he sows wickedness, he reaps the same. By the blast of God they perish. And by the breath of his nostrils are they consumed. They reap the same. And if you sow to the flesh, you shall of the flesh, the Bible says, reap corruption. Some, listen to me, some may reap with you, but nobody else will reap for you. Yes, you may affect other people's lives, but the law and the standard that regulates the harvest is this. You'll reap your own crop. You'll reap your own. Let me show you something. Go back to the book of Genesis chapter 27. And I'll prove it to you. Genesis chapter 27 tells a story about Isaac, the old man. He was blind. Do you remember he had two sons? One was called Jacob and one was called Esau. And you know the story, how that one day Rebekah said to Isaac that the old man desired venison and to go out into the field before his brother would do it, and go out into the field and take the kid of the goat and bring them in and slay them, and that she would make the meal for Jacob, that he would gain the blessing, and that he would present it to his father Isaac. And you notice in verse 23 it says, and he discerned him not, because his hands were hairy as his brother Esau's hands, so he blessed him. He said, art thou my very son Isaac? And he said, I am. And he said, bring it near to me, and I will eat my son's venison, that my soul may bless thee. And he brought it near to him, and he did eat, and he brought him wine, and he drank. And his father Isaac said unto him, come near and kiss me, my son. And he came near, and he kissed him, and he smelt the smell of his raiment, and blessed him, and said, see, the smell of my son is the smell of the field, which the Lord hath blessed. Therefore God give thee of the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth, plenty of the corded wine. Let people serve thee, and nations bow down before thee. Be Lord over thy brethren. In other words, he got the blessing. But it was a deception. Tell me, how did he deceive him? It was through the kid of the goat. Because he took the goat's skin and he put it over his arm. And around his neck. And when his father felt him, it was as if it was Esau, because that Esau was a hairy man. And he deceived his father, mark this, with a kid of the goat. And then he cleared off and he went to his uncle's place and he thought, you know, he's gone on well. And the story goes on, friend. And he gained the blessing, but he did it with deception through the kid of the goat. And then, as time went past, Jacob had a family. And God blessed him with 12 sons. And you remember the story how that they took Joseph because his father had given him a coat of many colors. And now we move to chapter 37. And in chapter 37, 10 of the sons were a part of the scheme where Joseph was sold into Egypt. And they came back to the father with a coat of Joseph that he had given to Joseph. It was a special coat and it denoted love, special love from a father and physician. And they came home. But let me show you something. Go to verse 31. And they took Joseph's coat and killed a kid of the goats. And they dipped the coat in blood. And they sent the coat of many colors, and they brought it to their father. And they said, "This have we found. Know now whether it be thy son's coat or no." And he knew it and said, "It is my son's coat. An evil beast hath devoured, and Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces. And Jacob rent his clothes, and he put sackcloth upon his loins, and he mourned for his son many days." Tell me, my friend, how did they deceive Jacob? With the blood of the kid of the goat. The very kid of the goat, he deceived his father. And now Jacob himself is deceived by the very same. Why? Because whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Friend, this is serious business. It's the standard that regulates the harvest. You reap what you sow, you reap the same. Now here's the last thought. But there's a surplus that comes with the harvest. A man goes into the field and he sows a seed. But he always reaps or desires to reap a greater harvest. Remember, the Lord Jesus told the story of the sower. And there was some 30-fold. And then there was some 60-fold. And then there was some 100-fold. But let me tell you, they were all, whether 30, 60, or 100-fold. It was always a surplus. There was always more. In the book of Hosea, chapter 8 and verse 7, it says, "They that have sown the wind will not reap the wind, but they that sow to the wind will reap the whirlwind, the mighty storm." Sometimes we are failure of the harvest. But friend, let me tell you, there is no failure in the reaping of sin's harvest. No failure at all. You'll reap the surplus. I give you two illustrations as I close. Listen. There was a young man called David. You know the story, how that David sinned grievously against his nation, against his wife, against his family, against Uriah, against Bathsheba. And we read tonight in Galatians chapter 6, "If you sow to the flesh, you shall of the flesh reap corruption." And he sowed to the flesh, and he paid a high cost for worthy living for that night of sin. Just one night of sin. First of all, he reaped the death of his child. I was reading that afresh this week as I was preparing for this message. And I noticed something in it. It says this in 2 Samuel chapter 12. And it says in verse 12, let me read it, just listen. "Thou didst it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun." David said unto Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord." And Nathan said unto David, "The Lord also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. Howbeit, because by thy deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die." And Nathan departed unto his house. And the Lord struck the child. Never noticed that as clear before. And the Lord struck the child. And it was very sick. And the child died. And he reaped his harvest. Friend, it didn't stop there. Because David reaped the harvest, not only the death of his child, he reaped the bitter harvest of Tamar, his daughter, being soiled by Amnon, her stepbrother. And then he reaped the harvest because Absalom was Tamar's brother. And when he realized that Tamar was spoiled by Amnon, Absalom never spoke, but he planned in his heart that he would finish the story. And Absalom murdered Amnon. Remember, Absalom was David's son. Amnon was David's son. Tamar was David's daughter. One after the other, judgment fell. And Absalom murdered Amnon. And Absalom was one of David's favorite sons. And one day his hair was caught in the bough of the tree, and the darts were pierced through his heart. And he died. And David cried, "My son, Absalom, my son, would God I had died for thee." Here's my question, David. Was your sin worth it? Was your night of sin that the devil promised you pleasure? Happiness! And all that sin will bring to you and the devil's lies will bring to you. Was it worth it? If I was able to bring David to this pulpit tonight, he would stand before this congregation and say, 10,000 times, no. For I reaped a harvest of a broken heart. And I reaped a harvest of a broken home. You see, David broke Uriah's home. And God broke his. What's that telling you for them? The law of the harvest. And he not only reaped one heartache, but on and on it went. He reaped what he sowed and the surplus that it brings. You can study the story of Ahab and Jezebel. I commend it to you because there was a day whenever there was a godly wee man, his name was Naboth, and he had a little garden, a little vineyard, and he loved it, for God had given it to him. It was in his family, it was in his heritage, and he loved it. And he looked after that vineyard that God had given him, and it was near the palace of the king in Samaria. And Ahab looked out one day and he saw this, and you know, he eyed it and he spied it and he longed for it and he wanted it. And he went to Naboth and he said, "Listen," he says, "sell me your garden." He says, "I can't, listen. It was a heritage of my father. It's so precious, I couldn't put a price upon it." He says, "I'll give you plenty for it." He said, "Listen, money can't buy it." Would to God that we realized our heritage was precious too and didn't sell it. But people are willing to sell their heritage cheap. Naboth wouldn't do it. And he cried like a child. The king cried like a child. And Jezebel, she says, "What are you crying about?" He says, "Naboth won't sell me his garden. He won't sell me his vineyard." She said, "Listen, you're the king. You're the king. Forget about your tears. Dry them up. Leave it with me." And Jezebel planned and schemed until she got Naboth stoned to death. And she says, "Listen, take his garden. Take it." Elijah the prophet came. Just turn to 1 Kings chapter 21 just for a moment. Listen. 1 Kings 21. And in verse 19, it says this. Elijah the prophet came and says, verse 19, and thou shalt speak unto him, saying, thus saith the Lord, hast thou killed and also taken possession? And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, thus saith the Lord, in the place where dogs lick the blood of Naboth, shall dogs lick thy blood, even thine. That's God's message to the king. Ahab, you'll reap what you sow. The very dogs that licked, and in the place where they licked the blood of faithful Naboth, the dogs will lick thy blood, even thine. And then go to verse 23. And of Jezebel also spake the Lord, saying, the dog shall eat Jezebel by the walls of Jezreel. Now listen to me, friend. Listen. Was God playing games? Would the law of the harvest really come? Would the standards of the harvest be realized? Would he reap what he sowed? Look at verse 25. There was none like unto Ahab, which did sell himself to work wickedness in the sight of the Lord, whom Jezebel his wife stirred up. He was as safe and secure as anything. I've got to cut this prison quickly. Listen. 3 years later, the judgment fell and the harvest was reaped in Ahab's life as promised by Almighty God. 3 years later. But not Jezebel. Let me tell you, friend. For 20 years, Jezebel continued unmolested as if God had forgotten the law of the harvest. 20 years. And then turn with me to 2 Kings. And 2 Kings chapter 9. In 2 Kings chapter 9, look at verse 33, because of time. And Jehu said, throw her down. It says in verse 30, Jehu was come to Jezebel. Jezebel heard of it, and she painted her face and tired her hair and looked out at a window. That's where you get a person painted up to the 99s. It's called a Jezebel. That's where you get it from. She painted her face for him. And she appeared as a Jezebel as she was, verse 33. And Jehu said, throw her down. So they threw her down. She's looking through the window. And some of her blood was sprinkled on the wall and on the horses. And he trod her underfoot. And when he was come in, he did eat and drink and said, go see now this cursed woman and bury her, for she is a king's daughter. And they went to bury her, but they found no more of her than the skull and the feet and the palms of her hands. Wherefore they came again and told him and said, and he said, this is the word of the Lord which he spake by his servant Elijah the Tishbite, saying, in the portion of Jezebel shall dogs eat the flesh, or Jezreel shall dogs eat the flesh of Jezebel. And the carcass of Jezebel shall be as dung upon the face of the field and the portion of Jezreel, so that they shall not say, this is Jezebel. Listen. 20 years. But she reaped what she sowed. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that sows to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. And he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Thank God tonight, God can deal with your sin. But you've got to confess it. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. May God bring you to saving faith in Christ tonight. Oh, run to the Savior. Thank God there's power in the blood tonight. Your sins, which are many, can be blotted out. But you have come to Him by faith. But don't ever think as you leave this service tonight that you'll get by with your sin without payment. Either, friend, you let the Lord Jesus Christ be your Savior and deliver you from the power of your sin tonight, or you'll be damned in the darkness of the lowest hell under the wrath of a righteous, holy God. And you reap the surplus of the harvest of your sin. May God save you for Jesus' sake. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, bless thy word to our hearts tonight. Truly, it is a solemn word. The devil's a liar, the devil's a deceiver, and men and women have listened and supped with the devil's spoon. Oh God, their souls being deceived. Bring precious souls to yourself tonight. As your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, men and women, in God's name, please, I beg you, turn from your sin and turn to Christ. Turn while the Savior in mercy is pleading, and steer for the harbor light, for how do you know but your soul may be drifting over the deadline tonight. You know the Bible says fools make a mock at sin. But God's not mocking. What God says He means. And God means what He says. You come to Him. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed in the closing moment. Just as I am, Lamb of God, I come. If there's one tonight, father, mother, son, or daughter, you say, preacher, yes, I have sinned. Is there pardon? Glory to God, there is. Is there peace? Thank God it's found in Christ and in the blood He shed. Don't leave without your sins being covered, friend. You'll either do one or two things. You'll try to conceal your sin or you'll confess it. Try to conceal your sin, but God says, be sure your sin will find you out. Confess your sin, and God says He's faithful and just to forgive it. Which one do you want tonight?